Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to another program about Fatima in Radio Maria Canada, the city of Toronto. And this will be episode 53. We have been dealing with the intervention of God in human history. We had to go through it before we understand Fatima as in itself an intervention. As Claude of Lisboa said, the most political of the Marian apparitions, because it was like a political intervention. We have dealt with the theological importance of the intervention. We said also that the main intervention of God in human history, it is such an intervention that he got intervened too. So it's the heaven that comes to the earth and the earth that goes to heaven. And that's the intervention of Jesus Christ. I say this because he not only intervened, but humanity intervened in heaven, in so as to say that humanity became part of the Holy Trinity, because one of the persons of the Holy Trinity is also human. So it's like Jesus say in a parable that God the Father wants to marry his son to humanity and invites all sorts of people, and they didn't come. And of course, marriage is forever. So this Jesus did not drop his humanity down here and went up to heaven without it. No, he got his humanity here on earth, and then he brought it to heaven. So he's part of his identity now. So the identity of the second person of the Holy Trinity has been changed. He used to be just divine, but now he's divine and and human. And so this is a very interesting thing about our religion, that God is part of us, but now we are part of God too. So the creator that assumes the creature in his own identity as he incarnated. So we were saying, and we said about four proofs of God's intervention, which is the we mentioned already. The first would be Pope Benedict the 15th, actually, that called Marian intervention. The second would be like the 13th of May, was a 13th of May of that same year, 13th of May 1917, that the Pope Pius XII was being ordained a bishop, and then he became a pope in 1939. And then the second is the very same election, the election of pope, of a pope from the East, from beyond the Iron Curtain. So it's not, the importance is not because it was a Polish pope that was elected. It's more that it's and he went to Poland, I believe, not just because Poland was his country, but Poland was a country that was beyond the Iron Curtain, and he was Polish. So he had the right to visit his family and go to Poland. Because as much Catholic as Poland, Hungary is very Catholic too, but yet the president of Hungary would never, or the people of Hungary would never dare to invite the Pope. And so the significance of the 9 visits of Pope John Paul II to Poland is because he is visiting a country that is beyond the Iron Curtain, and is beyond the Iron Curtain where this militant atheism that is being spread from Russia to the rest of the world. So there we have a proof there. And of course, the main proof is the murder, the attempted murder of the Pope John Paul II. That is because that murder was written about it long time before, in the 40s, when Lucia wrote The Third Secret. And the Pope John Paul II understood that that part of the secret pertained him. He understood it straight away. That's why he paid more attention to Fatima than he was not paying before. And another proof that there must be something, another coincidence that I believe is just more than coincidence, but is providence, is in the Blessed Virgin Mary in June the 13th, the second apparition, she said this: "Yes, I shall take Jacinta and Francisco soon, but you will remain a little longer, since Jesus wishes you to make me known and loved on earth. He wishes also for you to establish devotion in the world to my Immaculate Heart." So this is what our Blessed Mother said on the June apparition. And so right after this apparition, the thing that the little shepherds, Jacinta and Francisco, they knew so much about their future. How come? And they said it. They said it to their relatives. How come they knew so much about their future? How come that they knew that they soon, very soon, they would go to heaven? Soon, very soon, they would go to heaven. And Lucia knew also that she would remain here. She would remain here for many years to come, and that's how it happened. So this in itself is a proof, because Lucia, as you know, she remained up to 2005. So beyond the 20th century for which Fatima happened. But the other two, Jacinta of 7 and Francisco of 9, they too passed away very soon. Francisco passed away in 1918, and Jacinta passed away in 1919. So very soon, as the Blessed Virgin Mary had promised them. So not long after the second apparition, well, they were still in good health. The little shepherds already knew what was waiting for them in the immediate future. They knew that Francisco and Jacinta would soon die and taken up to heaven, and that Lucia would remain for a while on earth to bear witness to the message of Fatima and to promote the devotion of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. For me, I see this staying behind Lucia. She is the gospel writer of Fatima, so to say. She is the one who writes her memories, and she's a good writer, and she had a very good memory. See, she was taken, she was chosen, because the messages of Fatima and all the other messages, apart from the ones of Medjugorje, they are short messages. But even in short messages, you need a good memory to retain them, because Lucia was didn't know how to write at the time of the apparitions. She learned how to write after, but and she was advised by our Blessed Mother to go to school. But the other two, Francisco was not going because he said, I'm going to die soon. Why should I go to school? He was instead going to in front of the Blessed Sacrament. But Lucia did not write anything at the time of the apparitions, just like the Gospel. Nothing was written at the time of Jesus. So she had a very good memory to remember all the things that our Blessed Mother has said. But of course, there is one thing. The canonical Formicam, he wrote that in the dialogues and the interrogations, much was written by the parish priest of Fatima and by this other that came from Lisbon of the interrogations. And that material is all collected in Fatima. So, furthermore, in her own private apparitions of Our Lady, Jacinta knew in advance all the circumstances surrounding her own death, the day and the hour. She knew that she would be going to two hospitals, one hospital, the one of Orain, and the other of Lisbon, to suffer more, but not to be cured. She knew that she was going to suffer more, but not to be cured. And that at the hospital in Lisbon, she would be accompanied by her mother, who would leave her there by herself. What tortured her most was the knowledge that once gone to Lisbon Hospital, she would never see her dear friend Lucia again, and that she would die there alone. She knew the day before when she was going to die, during the night, and she even asked for communion. The communion was not given to her because they saw her, the doctor saw her in good spirits, that she was okay, that she was not likely to die, but she did. She did die during the night and alone. And that was a terrible thing for her. The most terrible thing for Jacinta was to be alone and to die alone. And not alone from her parents. Not alone from her parents, because their parents, they lived a long, still a long life. Our priests in Fatima in the 40s, they knew the father and the mother of Francisco and Jacinta. And Mr. Marto used to come to the consulate house many times, almost every day. And any money that people would give him, that was because he was the father of the two, he always brought it to the consulate for the missions. He never kept anything for himself. He was a holy man, and he was also, as I told you, the first believer of Fatima. My kids have never lied to me. If they said that they have seen the Virgin Mary, then they have seen her. So this is all about Jacinta knowing so much about her future, and that it's in itself a proof. The crown of Our Lady of Fatima, that's the crown that Our Lady of Fatima has. I don't know how many crowns she has, but she has more than one. But the main one, the one that the statue wears, on the 13th of May to up to the 13th, that the main one for the main pilgrimages, that crown, is pure gold and weighs 1 kilo 200 grams of pure massive gold, and is decorated with 950 diamonds and 313 pearls. One large emerald and 13 other smaller emeralds, ones, 33 sapphires, 17 rubies, 269 turquoises, one amethyst and 4 aquamarines. This is an amazing crown. I have seen it many times. It's an amazing crown. So there is much money here. It was made from the jewelries offered by the hundreds of Portuguese women as a thanksgiving for the fact that Portugal did not enter into the Second World War. So all these was a gift from the women, especially these precious stones. And the gold was done because there is still people offering gold. So the gold was by rings and other artifacts of gold that people give. It the crown was made from that gold initially. So why do I say that this crown is also a proof? Is also a proof of the apparitions of the gods' intervention. Well, I let you think about it, but there is a spot that became that proof. As I was saying about the crown of Our Blessed Mother at Fatima, initially, when Pope John Paul II gave the bullet used in his assassination, one of the three bullets, you know, the main one, the one that almost killed him, that is the third bullet. So when he came in 1982 for the first time to Fatima to thank Our Lady of Fatima for saving him, he brought the bullet used in his assassination attempt to be placed in the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. So that's a crown of glory that makes it a crown of thorns. So, and somebody says that this is the most precious jewel that got into the crown. But now, where do you put it? The thing is, where do you put it? It was not known where best to put it. So it came as a great surprise to the jeweler who made the crown in 1942. He was still alive when he discovered that the bullet which hit John Paul II had precisely the same diameter as the washer that joins the stems of the diadem. It was there that the bullet was placed, almost half a century later. Remarkably, when the crown was made, it had already reserved at that very moment a place for the future. There was a hole there that was waiting for the bullet. That probably the one who made the crown, he never got it. Why this hole? Because you look at the crown, you have to look behind because the bullet is just below the diadem. Below, it's the upper part of the crown. Of course, we are a radio, cannot show you. It's the upper part of the crown, just below the globe. There is a hole where all the stems of the crown unite. There, that hole remained there, and nobody knew what was the reason why it remained there. And then when the bullet came, exactly, it fitted that hole. So it was just placed there, fitted the hole. So I consider this also a proof, somehow providential proof, that when the crown was made in such a way that the last jewel would be the bullet that almost killed the life of Pope John Paul II, the one that I call the fourth shepherd of Fatima. The resplendent crown, the fruit of labor, of love, of the Portuguese people for Mary, remained incomplete all these years, for it was still missing a pearl, the bullet that struck the Pope, and providentially, the place that this would occupy was always waiting for it. To set it in this place, the crown of glory becomes the crown of thorns, becomes a crown of suffering, becomes a crown very much like the one of Jesus, a crown of thorns, and thus corresponds more with the life of Our Lady and with the life of which every Christian is called to live, the glory by way of the cross of suffering represented by the bullet. So the bullet comes to bring all the suffering. That is a crown of ostentation, but now is a crown of thorns. And also it's more in tune with the life of Jesus and more in tune with the life of our Blessed Mother, because she lived in pain all her life, as the prophecy of the Simeon, prophet Simeon, was right, that a sword would pierce her heart. So this is another proof that Fatima is indeed an intervention. Fatima is real, is genuine, is authentic, and it was an intervention of heaven on earth on the 20th century. Now the other proof is Fatima and Russia. So all we are going to say, it pertains to Fatima and Russia. If my request is, then July apparition is the one that is concerned with Russia. The July 13 apparition, Our Blessed Mother said, if my requests are heeded, Russia will be converted and there will be peace. If not, she will spread her errors throughout the world, causing wars and persecutions of the Church. The good will be martyred. The Holy Father will have much to suffer. Various nations will be annihilated. In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. This was said in the 13th of July, in the apparition of the 13th of July. So, mentions the Bolshevik Revolution, the start of the militant atheism, and so this is declared to the little shepherds. As I told you a couple of times already, they thought that Russia, they were so ignorant, these three shepherds, that they thought that Russia was a bad woman, a prostitute or something of a sort. They never thought it was a country. So this is how, you know, they could not invent those things, because their knowledge was not big enough to invent things, to make up things. So 3 months after Our Lady declared this to the little three shepherds, Lenin grabs the power in Russia and starts the Bolshevik Revolution, which would subject the neighboring nations, transforming them along with Russia into the great new Babylon, the Soviet Union, that would spread the militant atheism throughout the world. So 3 months after the prophecy was done, was said, it was acted. But also Fatima already said it before, because Fatima would defeat militant atheism. Fatima, Our Lady of Fatima is a warrior. Is another, as I told you, is another version, is another face, is the face, is the woman of the Magnificat, is the woman of the Magnificat, the one that goes in front of the troops. So, is a warrior, Our Lady of Fatima. How many armies does the Pope have? How many divisions? That was... This was said by Stalin, Giuseppe Stalin. Stalin asked during his time, in order to ridicule the Vatican's political and military potentials, certainly, military potentials doesn't have, but the political, yes. History has shown that whoever loves the last loves the best. So the spiritual power, even negatively, as the driving forces of behavior, is always stronger than the greed and all other worldly and earthly motives. So the Vatican does have armies. The Vatican, Stalin was wrong thinking that the Vatican has no power. No, no military power, that's true, but there is one sort of power, one sort of power that defeats all the military power. At the end, said Mary in Fatima, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. And indeed, at the end of the religious feeling, the belief in God was triumphed over the Enlightenment atheism and rationalism. Faith has triumphed over reason, both in Russia, as in Portugal, and in the whole world. Now, another one that I already mentioned, but I'm going to quote him again, that could answer Stalin, where are the divisions of Pope, of the Pope? Where are the armies of the Pope? So it was on May 10, 1985, in a visit to Portugal, by the then American President Ronald Reagan, surely inspired by God, as he affirmed, I venture to suggest that it is by the example of men like him, referring to Pope John Paul II, and the prayers of the people from all over the world, humble people like the little shepherds of Fatima, that there resides a greater power than all the great armies and statesmen of the world. 2 years later, the first treaty of nuclear disarmament was signed between the United States and the Soviet Union. So Stalin was answered when he mocked and laughed about the power of the Pope. It was in John Paul II was a very powerful Pope, and he used all these talents, all his abilities, and all the resources that he could use to bring down the militant atheism that he himself suffered when he was in Poland. So the Blue Mary prevails over the Red. The Blue Army prevails over the Red Army. You know that I told you that in Fatima it doesn't exist anymore. The Blue Army, there was a building, a big church with a big Orthodox church that was called the Blue Army. So the withdrawal of the Red Army from Austria on the 13th of May 1955, this took place after 10 long years of campaign promulgated by the Franciscan priest Petrus Paliek, which consists of countless and constant processions and public recitation of the Rosary throughout the country, especially in Vienna. Faced with this silent, peaceful, but proactive protest from the Austrians, the Russians withdrew from Austria, which they had occupied since 1945. You see, that's another. The potence of the prayer, that's to prove what Reagan has said. And so the Austrians prayed till the Russians withdrew from Austria in the occupied Austria 1945. So it was the power of the Rosary, that Rosary that our Blessed Mother told the little shepherds to pray every single day. Now, a smaller proof of Fatima's intervention, it's the flag of the European Union, the flag of the Council of Europe, because the flag of the now European Union existed before the European Union, was the flag of the Council of Europe, which today represents the European Union, was created, this flag was created by a German Catholic, and it was published December the 8th of the year 1955, and the European Union was founded in 57. But the European Council, the Council of Europe, needed a flag for Europe, and they told a German artist to do a flag for Europe. This German artist was a German, and he was very devoted to our Blessed Mother, and he prayed the Rosary every day, and he produced the flag on December the 8th, 1955, became the flag of the European Council. On the feast day of the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the blue of the flag is the color of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and the stars are those that surround the head of the woman described in the book of Revelation, which is traditionally recognized as the Virgin Mary. So this person, this artist, he was inspired in the book of Revelation. The end of the Soviet Union, that for me is a big proof. You remember that Our Lady in Fatima said, "In the end, my immaculate heart will triumph." Finally, on the same day, on the 8th of December of the year 1991, again on the feast day of the Immaculate Conception, and 74 years after Mary had said in Fatima that in the end her Immaculate Heart will triumph, Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus signed a document to put an end to the Soviet Union. On Christmas night of that year, the red flag with its hammer and sickle was forever withdrawn from the highest summit of the Kremlin, and in its place was hoisted the tricolor flag of the Empire of Peter the Great, so the real Russia. The consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart, one of the petitions of Mary, or condition for Russia to convert, was for the Pope to consecrate Russia to their Immaculate Heart after numerous incomplete consecrations, incomplete because Lucia would say they are incomplete, since Pope Pius XII, on which Russia was never named, finally on the 25th of March 1984, Pope John Paul II made the consecration that was found to be acceptable to Our Lady before the seer Lucy. So Lucy said this consecration of John Paul II was accepted. 2 years later, Mikhail Gorbachev came to power and initiated a series of social and political reforms, one of which was the end, once and for all, of the militant atheism and the religious persecution. To these reforms, he himself gave the name Perestroika, which means conversion in Russia. So conversion came. Conversion came under the name of Perestroika. And it was, of course, it's not a real conversion because Russia has been always Christian. But it has been atheism. The atheism has been enforced by all the Russian presidents. And it was Gorbachev with his Perestroika that said no more atheism. Communism continued, yes, but militant atheism, no. He stopped it. And later on, he himself was an Orthodox and paid tribute, and not much as the one that came after him, Boris Yeltsin. That was a very good Orthodox Christian. And so, you see, Russia converted. That's another proof that if the consecration is done, Russia will convert. And indeed, Russia was converted, and no more militant atheism in the world. The Berlin Wall, the wall which for years has divided the two Germanies, began its construction by the Democratic Republic of Germany on 13 of August 1961. Its demolition was officially started on the 13th of June 1990 and was completed 2 years later. So not few are the coincidences between Fatima and various historical facts that took place in the 20th century. When there are so many chance happenings and all seem to be pointed at the same direction, it seems unlikely that they took place without a purpose or a deliberate intention. In Fatima, and by means of Fatima, the divine providence intervened in the most belligerent century of human history.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.